Good morning and welcome to worship. This is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am honored to see you as we've gathered as the people of God to worship in spirit and in truth. I'm Barry Howard. It's my privilege to serve as pastor in the interim here at Greystone. If you're new to Greystone, we are delighted that you are here and you've honored us by your presence. We would ask respectfully that you join our members in signing the friendship pad as it's passed down, and we would look forward to getting better acquainted with you following the service and in the days to come. If you are a guest, I would look forward to meeting you in person, and I'll be out in front of the gathering room following the service and would love to know who you are and where you're from. As we worship on this beautiful Sunday morning, let us worship with ears wide open, attentive to the voice of the Spirit in every prayer, in every song, and in every scripture. For this is our prayer. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Let us worship God together.
Is when the people of God dwell together in faith and spirit and unity. Let's stand together as we celebrate. Sing it out, church.
Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwell together in spirit, in faith and unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruit of His presence here among us. So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll sing out His word till the whole world sees. The Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
Come on, church. Oh, how good it is.
Oh, how good it is. On this journey we share to rejoice with the happy and weep with those who mourn, for the weak find strength. The afflicted find grace when we offer the blessing of belonging.
Sing it out.
So with one voice we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole earth sees. The Redeemer has come, for He dwells in the presence of His people.
With one voice,
go with one.
Church said, amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Our message this morning, our sermon, is going to be about prayer. So I thought I would talk to you a little bit this morning about how you can pray. We're getting near the end of school, right? Yeah, we're about to finish whatever grade we're in, whatever preschool class we're in. So now would be a really good time for us to pray for all of the friends we've made this year and pray for all the kids in our class who maybe they might still be having a little bit of a hard time making friends. And we can pray for them. We can pray for our teachers. The end of the school year is a lot of work for your teachers and your principal. So you can pray for them. And guess what? Even though you might not believe me, when the school year is over, your teachers are going to miss you. Yeah, they are. They're really going to miss you. So it would be a really good thing to pray for them. I'm going to show you a way that I like to pray sometimes. It's kind of a little bit of a crazy way to pray, and I can use this to pray for my classmates and my teachers, or I can pray for other things. This is called a scribble prayer. I'm going to scribble on my paper. You ready? I made a big scribble on my paper, and I'm going to use that to pray. I see some kind of crazy faces looking at me like, y'all think I'm nuts. Here. In this section right here, see, it's kind of big. I'm going to use this section and pray for my classmates. I might write their names in it. I might decorate it with pictures of smiley faces and things like that. Right here, I'm going to pray for my teacher. And in this other section right here, I'm going to pray for my family. That might mean my mom and my dad or my grandparents or my aunts and uncles and cousins. Over here, I might pray for my friends. Maybe my friends from church or my friends from dance class or swimming. Right here, I'm going to pray for my church. And I might color it. This one I might color blue or purple because we have lots of blue and purple things around Greystone in our window. And right here, I want to pray for our new pastor. We don't know who that new pastor is yet, but we can already pray for that person. And in my scribble prayer, I can color it and I can write words on it and I can draw pictures of whatever I want to pray about. Maybe there's something I'm worried about, and I'm going to label this one right here a worry, and I'm going to pray for my worry right there. Right here, I kind of have a question I want to ask God, so I'm going to draw a question mark. And when I color that, I'll remember. And I'll pray while I'm coloring. So I want you, if you want, if you don't already have a clipboard at your seat, you can take it, and there's blank paper. And since there's only two pencil packs, I'm thinking that some of y'all already have them. One of our church members made these for us. Wasn't that very nice of her? So when you get back to your seat, you can pray with your pencil and your coloring pencils. And if you want to share it with me, I would love to see it. One of my kids from 845, I saw her, and she drew big circles all over her page, and she prayed for something different in every circle. It was full of words. Can you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our teachers and our principals and our cafeteria workers and our custodians and everyone who makes our school day go smoothly. We thank you for our parents and our families who love us. And we thank you for our church who teaches us of your love and teaches us the stories in the Bible. Our church family who loves us. We pray for our new pastor, even though we do not know who that is yet. We pray for them and for their hearts to be ready to come here when we are ready to have them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. The Stewardship Committee asked me to speak today about something that's near and dear to my heart. When Mark and Kim Wyatt arrived in Raleigh 3 years ago, most of us had no awareness of a refugee community that was within 2 miles of our church building, Cedar Point. The Wyatts opened our eyes to offering hospitality and friendship to refugees from all over the world, a mandate that's given to us by Scripture. According to Felix Ayoko, the pastor of the Swahili Restoration Church, there are three important arms of successful refugee culturalization, and those are education, language, and employment. Members of Greystone are involved in all three of these aspects through homework help and read and swim, the education portion, ESL classes, language, and linking folks with prospective employers for jobs. There's a group of members who will provide kindergarten physical exams next Saturday, providing a smooth transition into the public school system for 15 kids. I'd also like to speak how this ministry has affected me personally. For example, after spending countless hours sitting next to a refugee in the immunization or OB clinics at the county, I've learned to be more patient. The first couple of years, I would jump up and walk up to the receptionist and say, excuse me, have you forgotten about us? And she would always say, sit down, ma'am. We'll call you when it's your turn. I've learned that these visits normally take around 3 hours. So patience has been not one of my virtues, and I'm learning. I've learned to be more comfortable in silence, having spent innumerable car rides with someone who doesn't speak English, and I don't speak their language. And at times there can be a beauty in not having to fill in silence with just noise and chatter. There's been so many God moments at Cedar Point, times when God has intervened to help either me or a refugee. And in this way, I've learned to trust him more fully. There's a story I'd like to share with you kind of quickly. Some of you have heard this story, but because it's Mother's Day, it seems kind of appropriate. I have a friend at Cedar Point, Jennifer, who I met about a year and a half ago. And 9 months ago, she was very pregnant. We had made a plan that she would call me when she went into labor because she had unreliable transportation and her husband worked kind of off and on hours. So that whole family had an appointment on a Thursday and I couldn't reach her by phone. I was trying on Wednesday. She didn't pick up or the phone call didn't go through, but begrudgingly on Wednesday I thought, I'm going to have to go over there and remind her of this appointment. So I got in the car, drove to Cedar Point, walked the 3 flights up to her apartment, knocked on the door, and as I knocked, the door kind of opened. So I stuck my head in the door and I said, Jennifer? She answered from back in the apartment, yes, in this meek voice. And I opened the door fully to see her bent over a chair, and I said, are you all right? And she said, I'm having my baby. So at that point, I thought, okay, this is your 5th child. Things are going to move along fast here. We arranged care for her 3-year-old. We got her school-age children looked after for school. We jumped in the car, and we drove madly to Wake Med. The whole time in the car, I was praying for Jennifer and her unborn child, and I was also praying that her water wouldn't break in my brand-new car. So we get to Wake Med, took her to the ER. They took her right up to the delivery room. I parked the car, came right back, and entered the room, and there was the nurse attaching her to all the monitors and taking her vital signs. So I stepped out of the room for just a minute to call Ron and let him know where I was at. Wasn't out in that phone call for more than 2 minutes, walked in to find the nurse grabbing that baby being born. So at that moment, it was Jennifer, the nurse, and I in the room witnessing Princess's birth. This is, God plans things in ways that just are amazing to me, and I feel so grateful I'll have a lifetime relationship with that family. I've observed amazing growth in both children and adults as they meet the challenges of life in a new country. I've made friends, had to give tough love, as well as observed and been complicit in when helping hurts. I'm so grateful to have found this passion at this point in my life, and from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for supporting this ministry. It's profoundly important to both the giver and the recipient.
Good morning. As I am sure is a shock to everyone, I'm not Scott. My name is Sarah Wheeler. I am most importantly Everett and Lottie's Aunt Sarah, and I am also a member of the Stewardship Committee. And the Stewardship Committee wanted to take this time, at this time of year, to thank you all for your continued commitment to our church, the activities, giving your time and your finances to help keep us alive and keep us involved in things like the refugee ministry. We have trips to Arkansas coming up, and Lumberton, and youth are going to camp this summer, and we've got VBS coming up. And so even though we are a church of change, we are a church that is growing and moving forward and is active and alive. So we want to thank you for all of your commitments to the programs that you're in, and we also want to ask you to prayerfully consider where you can commit your time and gifts going forward in the year. Just to confirm with Joanne, do you need to have any experience with bringing beautiful princesses into the world to help with the refugee ministry? She says no. So we are all qualified if you're interested in working with the refugee group. We have a passage that the Stewardship Committee would like us to focus on this week as we think about where we can become involved in the church. And this is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you all again. Even thank you for coming to church this morning when it is so beautiful outside and you may have wanted to drink coffee on your porch. We really appreciate everything that you all do.
Let us pray. O God of unending love and shining light, you who have promised us life in abundance, hear us, Lord, as we express our gratitude for your faithfulness to us. We see you at work in our world, Lord, and the presence of the Holy Spirit is everywhere we go. We are grateful for opportunities to come alongside you, to share in your redemption of this world. Just one of those opportunities is the work with refugee ministries in the Triangle. We pray for the families who live there, for even in a foreign land, may they be reminded that you have promised to be with them. And we are grateful. Grateful that we see the joy of abundant life in their faces as we share in your ministry with these folks. This church, Greystone Baptist Church, this community of faith in North Raleigh, this church holds a special place in our hearts. It is meaningful to each of us in different ways. Grant us the courage to continue to lean in, that we may become even more connected to this community of faith during this season of transition. Nurturing God, you who breathed life into the dust, that we might have life, we pray with gratitude on this Mother's Day, thankful for those who have cared for us, who have provided for us, who have helped us to become the people that we are. We are thankful for the people in our lives who have shared the stories of God's love with us, while also showing us countless examples of selfless love. But we know that this day is not a day of celebration for everyone. For some, it is a day of sadness, a day of grief for mothers and for children who are no longer with us. Our loved ones are missed, Lord. May those who are mourning be comforted. For others, this is a day of great tension, for this day serves as a reminder of great conflict and anger that exists. We are hurt and we are frustrated, Lord. May those who are angry be met with peace. For others, this is a day of hopelessness, for this day serves as a reminder that the dream of being a mother may never be realized. Maybe it is related to issues of fertility, or maybe it is other reasons. We acknowledge our pain, that we wish things could be different than they are. May all those who are hurting be reminded of God's great love for the people that we are, rather than the people that we are not. Lord Jesus, you who walked on this earth with us, we know that you share in our joys and in our sorrows. And so may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today is a special day when we celebrate the devotion and nurturing love of our mothers, those with us here today and those who are now by your side. Let us now seek to better understand your endless love for us and to willingly and generously give of our talents and resources to help spread this love to all. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing for the reading of the Gospel. A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, the name that you've given me, so that they may be as we are, that they may be as one. While I was with them, I protected them in the name that you've given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one that was destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that their joy may be made complete. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not going to ask you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them, especially from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world, so sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson. Thanks be to God.
He did not resign.
If, in the words of Oswald Chambers, prayer is the vital breath of a Christian, is there anyone here who needs to breathe in a little fresh prayer? I'm convinced that as we move from adolescent stages of faith into adult faith, as we grow in Christ, we're continually upgrading our spiritual life. And there really is no wrong way to pray. So it's not as though when we're children we pray wrong. We have frameworks for prayer and models for prayer and wonderful examples for prayer. But as our prayer life grows deeper, it needs to be refreshed and invigorated over and over and over again. This gospel reading from John 17 is often called the other Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer when Jesus prayed for ordinary people just like you and me. And in just a moment, I want to dig into a little of the meat of that prayer. It's been a great week for me. I hope it has been for you. This morning, early in preparing, I was actually taking the church directory and praying for you by name, much like Jesus prayed for us. I want us to continue to pray for each other. I'm reminded last week that in the morning service, we challenged you to bring out the best in each other, and a part of that's praying for each other. And then on Sunday afternoon, Bill Wilson was with us for our congregational conversation, and he challenged us to pray for our pastor search team and to pray for the pastor, though we do not yet know the identity of our new pastor. And we covenant to do that. And so in this season, it's important that we engage in a revitalized life of prayer. So I was praying for you, and I was counting my blessings, and boy, it's been a great week. I was able to go deep sea fishing this week. I was invited by one of my doctor friends to try out his new boat, quite a fast boat, faster than I ever imagined I would ride on. Normally, when I'm in a fast boat, it's 25 to 30, maybe 35 miles an hour, and to me, that's near warp speed. And he has a new 36-foot yellowfin, and when he said we were going to be going 62 miles an hour, the boat had no seat belts, I was holding on for dear life. But we caught a lot of fish, almost 400 pounds of fish over the next 4 hours. My freezer's fully stocked. It's been a good week. My great-nephew, our great-nephew, is 14. He's a member of the Cheehaw biking team based out of North Alabama. They're a trail bike team. This is his first year. They advanced to the state championship. They won last weekend, the state championship. I was on the phone with him. And until I tell you the rest of the story, you really can't appreciate the gravity of what it means to say that I was on the phone with him. And then, of course, the highlight of my week is to be right here with you. And I don't say that lightly. I say that sincerely. I'm grateful for your invitation, but you need to know the deeper invitation was the call of God. My life was going in a different direction. We'd made other plans when your phone call came. My wife said, "Surely not." And after we both agreed to pray about it, a remarkable thing happened. Just as Paul heard the Macedonian call, we both heard the Greystonian call. And the next day, I said to her, "I know this is what God wants me to do with the next few months of my life." And after meeting so many of you last week, that was confirmed. And I don't think even you yet sense the potential of what God wants to do in this place and through this people. So these months of preparation are important and vital, and I'd only take them seriously. A few years from now, I will look back and say, this was one of the best times of my life, and I hope it is also one of the best times of your life. This is a nostalgic day. When I heard the first chords to "I Must Tell Jesus," my grandmother, now in heaven, taught me the words to that song before I learned to read. And it brought me back to all the maternal influences in my life and reminded me that on a day when we give thanks for the maternal influences, it's a great day to talk about prayer. On the seventh Sunday of Eastertide, as we bask in the aura of the resurrection, it's a great time to talk about prayer. As we think about the ascension which we observe this week. It's a great time to talk about prayer. So let's begin, try to hit the meat of the matter, and I want to come back and tell you a little bit more about Elisha. First of all, I have grown to understand that prayer is so much more than religious language, religious slogans, and certainly pious religious platitudes. That prayer is becoming, and it's a process, not a finished product, prayer is becoming an ongoing, honest conversation with God. It has no beginning and no end. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. And it seems to be the way that Jesus prayed. Prayer is sometimes brutally honest. There are times when we need to expose ourselves, that we confess our deepest sin, that we voice our greatest hope, that prayer is an honest, ongoing conversation with God. I know this church appreciates fine music, and I know a little of the tradition here, and I know many of the composers which you appreciate, and I've been privileged to work with a few of them. I first met Ken Miedema in 1977, and we've been privileged to work together two or three times. He came to spend a few days with us at the beach last summer in honor of our Minister of Music's 30th anniversary. And I was able to take Ken over to Peg Leg Pete's, our favorite seafood place. And after enjoying the grouper basket and the great coleslaw and a cup of gumbo, which Ken gulped down more quickly than I drink iced tea, we were talking about church and worship, and we were talking particularly about worship styles, and Ken said something that I haven't forgotten. He said, it's important that we teach people to worship in our native tongue, and that means both singing and praying. For when we try to worship or sing or pray in someone else's tongue, we usually run afoul. But if prayer is an honest, ongoing conversation with God, we pray best when we pray in our native tongue with all of its rawness and lack of refinement. And these days, most of my prayers are either birthed out of my deepest pain or my greatest hope. And it sort of fluctuates back and forth. And I think when Jesus prayed prior to Passion Week and his ascension, his prayer was birthed in his deepest pain and his greatest hope. Richard Foster says we need to remember prayer as a spiritual discipline. And I appreciate the writings of Richard Foster and Dallas Willard and others who remind us of those disciplines. But Foster goes further than the rest in saying prayer is not only a spiritual discipline, prayer is a priority discipline. If you lose the other disciplines, whatever you do, do not lose prayer. Prayer is our contact point. It's our lifeline. It's what fosters community. It's what builds up the body of Christ. I think prayer does two or three things for a church family. First of all, prayer aligns us individually and collectively with the will of God. It puts us in tune. Oh, man, and speaking of tuning, Mike, the toughest day of the year for me as a pastor, 39 years of pastoring, people say the toughest day has got to be Mother's Day, it's got to be Father's Day, it's got to be Right to Life, whatever you name it. Some think Christmas and Easter are the toughest days for a pastor. Do you know what the toughest day for me was? Piano tuning day. For, especially in Kentucky, the church I served there, the pastor's office was right across the hall from the music room and adjacent on the back wall to the church chapel, both which had grand pianos. So they never would tell me when it was going to happen, afraid I would take a sick day. And so I would be sitting in the office reflecting on the deeper teachings of Scripture, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, would come this concert pianist that only knew one note that they played over and over and over again so obnoxiously until finally when they got it right and it matched the tuning fork, it would emerge into chords which would become a song which would sort of restore harmony. And I think that's what prayer does for us. Prayer takes us back to our middle C. It aligns us with God's will. It unifies us as God's people. And prayer detoxifies us of the impure motives and attitudes that creep into life. And I need to be forthright and honest in saying, in the day in which we live, with there being a cantankerous, toxic conversation in culture, whether it be economically or politically or culturally, it's even more imperative that people who are followers of Jesus tune into God's will, or else those attitudes that are toxic and those motives that are impure will dominate our individual lives and create a divisive spirit among the people of God. Prayer is a spiritual discipline. And third, and really finally, Jesus prayed. Boy, did he ever. The Gospels are filled with the prayers of Jesus. From the Sermon on the Mount, where he gave that model prayer that begins, "Our Father who art in heaven," to the time he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying so intently, "If it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but whatever, not my will, but your will be done." And on the cross, almost every word was a prayer. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And ultimately, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." Jesus is one who prayed so intently, took time in what is the longest recorded prayer in the New Testament, John 17, to pray specifically for you and me. If you're outlining that, you could come up with 8 points, 10 points. I want to underscore three of those. First of all, Jesus' prayer for me and you was, "Father, protect them. I've tried to keep them safe. Guard them. Protect them from the evil one." It's almost reminiscent of the words I alluded to last Sunday, where Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, "Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that you will be strong." A prayer of protection. Second, Jesus prayed that we might have joy. Jesus didn't want a church full of old fuddy-duddies. Jesus prayed that our joy might be not the temporary, fleeting joy like the world gives, but it might be a complete joy that can only come through the meaning and purpose he gives in life. Joy that supersedes circumstances. Joy that supersedes our own personal performance. He prayed for protection. He prayed for joy. And finally, he said, "Father, sanctify them with the truth. Saturate them with truth." So when we pray for each other, maybe that becomes our model of fresh prayer, to pray that God would protect each the other from the adversary or the evil one. Prayer that our joy would be made complete, and that everything we do with our gifts and energy, we are making the joy of others complete, which has a way of raising and elevating our own sense of joy. And finally, how tough it is that in a world of innuendo and rumor, in a world of falsehood and fake news, that we would be so saturated with the truth, that we live by the truth, we believe the truth, and we share the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Does anyone need a breath of fresh prayer? The human response, the default response to any crisis, to any need, is worry and elevated anxiety. But the passage that was read so well earlier from Philippians chapter 4 begins by saying, "Do not worry about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your petition known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Corrie ten Boom said near the end of her life, "Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is also too small to perceive as a burden." Is there anyone that needs a breath of fresh prayer? Oh yeah, I was going to tell you about Elisha, now age 14, our oldest great-nephew. My wife and I, our parents are gone on. We're the oldest people our 23 nieces, nephews, great-nieces and nephews know. And they see us as grandparent figures, which is fine. They love coming to visit. And we love each and every one of them, but Elisha is unique. Elisha was born a day after his mom spent the night at our house preparing to go in for delivery. He was smart like his dad, good-looking like his mom. He was a healthy-looking child, and we loved playing with him, but he was very quiet compared to other children. So imagine our amazement when by age 2 we recognized that he had speech delay with autistic symptoms. And within a year was diagnosed with a most severe form of autism. He was nonverbal. It was age 2 when his eyes began venturing off in almost the Rain Man syndrome. He couldn't stand loud noises, couldn't stand harsh movements. He only ate a couple of foods, and you can't live off bread alone. And so he began lots of therapy, and by age 6, we had a digital computer talk box for Elisha. And all these words that had been pent up in him for 6 years began to come out as he picked out the letters, learning to read and form sentences. And I can't describe to you what it's like for the first time to hear a nonverbal autistic student say, "I love you." And last week, he won the state championship, and less than 20% of autistic kids ever ride a bike because the movement is too severe. And I called him and said, "Elisha, congratulations," and I waited the appropriate few seconds knowing he was programming the digital talk box, and then came back the words, "Thank you, Uncle Barry. I be at beach in summer." And I smiled because for him that was big. Now I say he's nonverbal. He goes to speech therapy every week. My sister uses flashcards in teaching him. He now has 24 vocabulary words that he can say discernibly. And they're not nearly as clear as the words you and I speak. But we know what he's saying. And there are times I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, and the words don't come. But in Romans 8:26, it says, "The Spirit intercedes for us with groanings and utterances that are absolutely too deep for words." All the important things in life, if you only know 24 words, let the words come with rawness and authenticity. Let the words come with courage and with faith. And if we struggle to spit them out, let them come anyway. And God will continue to deepen our life of prayer, individually and collectively. Is there anyone who needs a breath of fresh prayer? Anyone? Worship always includes the praise of God and listening to God, but worship isn't complete until we have an opportunity to respond to God. And each and every one of us, when we worship, are called to deepen our faith and recommit our resolve to following in the footsteps of Jesus. And today, the hymn that we sing becomes the prayer that we speak. My faith looks up to thee, And as we stand and sing in just a few moments, let our faith look up to the Lord who hears and answers every prayer. Maybe you're here and you've made a decision in your life to begin the journey of following Jesus. We'd love to welcome you or speak with you personally about that important decision. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. And if I moved into this community, I don't know of a better place and a better people I'd rather be affiliated with. So as we stand and sing and make our commitments, if there's a commitment you're ready to share regarding faith in Christ or church membership, come quickly and let us celebrate with you. As we stand, let us sing together.
Of the living Christ be with you. Now share the peace of Christ with those around you.
Good morning. There are lots of ways that you can be in community and in fellowship with your church in the coming weeks. I want to make sure that you are aware of a few of those. First, today is the last day for deacon nominations. We'd love for you to fill out that information that is there in your bulletin and to place it in, there's a brown wooden box at the back of the sanctuary as you're leaving. We'd love for you to put that in there as we prepare to elect our deacons for the coming year. Also, we have our next trip to Lumberton. Remember, they are doing flood relief there, and that next trip is May 24th through the 26th. Johnny Glover and Jerry Childs are great people to reach out to if you want to know more about that trip. And if you can't join them, they would love for you to pray for them as they prepare and as they are there. Leadership Council meets next Sunday. This is earlier than our normal time, so I want to make sure that you have that on your schedule. Next Sunday, May 20th, Leadership Council will meet. And Amanda is normally the one who does our lunches for us for that, and she will be on vacation. So we ask you to bring your own lunch to that and to make sure that you prepare in that way. This coming Wednesday, there's no school in Wake County. So we have a day camp planned here at church and a little bit of a field trip planned. And we'd love for you, if you have a kindergarten through fifth grader that wants to be a part of that, if you'll let me know by Monday about noon. You should have gotten an email about it, but we put it together so fast it's not in your bulletin. But it is happening on Wednesday, and we would love for your kids to be a part of that. If you are a guest with us, Barry would love to meet you. He, along with a couple of our church members, will be in the gathering space, which is the room just behind us as we exit here. We'd love for you to come and meet them. And if you don't have any plans for lunch, we'd love for you to join us across the street at Sawmill. Let's continue in worship.
These words send us forth. I'm going to pray so God can use me anytime, anywhere. We need your voice. Let's go out as we sing.
Sing it out.
I'm gonna pray slow. God can use me anytime and anywhere. I'm gonna pray slow. God can use me anytime and anywhere.
And may God send us from this place filled with the peace of Christ, so that we engage every adventure of life in everything we say and everything we do, prayerfully, joyfully, and truthfully. May God bless. Have a great week. Amen.